Let us pray. Dear God, may we feel your Spirit moving in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually I choose a gospel passage to preach about while thinking that, you know, why don't we preach more about the epistles? As these are about the early church, and the church developing their message of Jesus' love. And shouldn't there be a lot of meat in there for us? So today, it's about the passage from the letter to the Philippians. And in it, Paul asks the people in Philippi to stand firm, to bring their requests to God in prayer, and above all, to rejoice. This is a man writing from prison, and he's asking them to rejoice. So I'm sure he rejoices in the love of God, and he knows that even in prison, God is with him. So I want to talk about prayer. Prayer is embedded in our traditional worship, as it is, I think, in most religions. We know about the prayer of our mother religion, Judaism, from the Bible. And in particular, the Psalms, which are like a prayer book of Judaism. Now, there are some beautiful psalms, beautiful prayers, like the 23rd Psalm. And this reflects a belief in a God who is loving and comforting. But then there are some hateful psalms, which suggest a belief in a different kind of God. For instance, Psalm 109. Let's listen to that. He said, for the wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me. And so the psalmist prays to God, appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser bring him to trial. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another seize his goods. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, and may they be driven out of the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has, and may strangers plunder the fruits of his soil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children. That's pretty severe stuff. And I would believe that the prayer thought that God would respond to that. And of course, in those days, and right up into our days today, people thought we prayed to God so God could intervene in our lives in some way. Hopefully in good ways for us and bad ways for our enemies. But what about today? Many of us believe that God is different than that. We don't believe God is vindictive, partisan, violent, and punishing. We believe that God is loving. God gives us free will and challenges us to live in the circumstances that we find ourselves and to deal with them. So, wouldn't our prayers be different today than they have been in the past? We have inherited these prayers and a certain view of God. But now, if we see God differently, then surely our prayers should be different. When I was growing up in the Baptist church, the Baptist Young People's, I had a friend who came to me and he said, "I think this prayer is foolishness." He says, "I've tried it. I say the words into empty space and I don't hear anything back. So, what's it about?" And maybe many people feel that way. Well, also when I was in the Baptist Young People's at the age of 13, I was preparing for baptism. Because, of course, in the Baptist church, you're supposed to make your own decision and be at the age where you can make these type of decisions. And it was thought that 13 was the age. I don't know about that. But in any case, we were taught that there were five types of prayers. There's prayers of adoration, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, and petition. So that when we pray, we should go through all those, make sure we cover all the bases. So what would those prayers be like if we're praying to a God that we don't expect to intervene in our lives? Prayers of adoration. Does God need our adoration? Why do we have prayers of adoration? Well, back when we thought God was going to intervene, we had to butter him up. So, get on the good side, make sure that he understood that we adored him. But today, we're not thinking that way. We want to adore God because we're so thankful for the life that God has given, for the love that he surrounds us with, and just the enjoyment of life. Okay, prayers of thanksgiving. That's fairly easy. We just came through celebration of Thanksgiving, and we think of, I guess, all the food particularly at Thanksgiving, the turkey and all that stuff, stuffing. But if we don't believe that God gives that to us directly, but really, a lot of it is because we worked hard for it, then why would we give thanks to God? A minister was out visiting one of his congregation, a farmer, and he looked out over the farmer's fields and they were lush and beautiful crops. And so he said to the farmer, "You and God have done a wonderful job here." And the farmer said, "Well, thank you, but you should have seen it when God had it on his own." So we give thanks, we pray in thanksgiving, realizing that what we have and what we enjoy is not all our effort. There's a lot of people involved in our lives. And we pray with gratitude for all that. Confession. We don't say prayers of confession very often in this church, but confession is good for the soul. I sincerely believe that God hears prayers of confession and we are forgiven. I think that we need to look at our lives, see how the lives we are leading, how we're really leading a life, and to understand that there are times in our life when we haven't behaved well. Now, I know it's unfashionable to talk about sin these days. That's not something we talk about in the United Church. But in my view, sin is when we don't behave well. And it's helpful to look at that in your life in order to do better. If you don't have any feeling that you've done anything wrong, how are you ever going to change or be better? But I think also confession and acceptance of forgiveness is a great way to get rid of a burden of guilt. Some people can't forgive themselves, and they carry that guilt along with them, and it poisons their lives. So I think that's an important prayer. Intercession. Okay, if we don't think God's going to intervene in the lives of people we pray for, or countries we pray for, or situations we pray for, why do it? Why offer those prayers? Well, we pray those prayers to bring before our consciousness the needs around us and around the world. We want to stand in solidarity to people who are in need, who are suffering from, well, particularly in the last little while, natural disasters, but also human violence. And although we may not expect God to intervene, we may be prompted to intervene with our resources and our presence, knowing that somebody's ill or going through a tough time, that we could stop by, phone call, bring them a meal, whatever. So I think it's important in intercessory prayers to bring these needs and keep them before us so that we can react in a positive way and be helpful. So the fifth type of prayer is petition. And this is where we ask God about our needs. But if we don't think God's going to intervene, what's the purpose? Well, I don't believe God's going to intervene in my life, and yet I pray for strength. I pray to feel God's Spirit. It's meaningful. It also helps, perhaps, in dealing with life to admit your needs. Because you can't deal with your needs if you won't admit them. I think there's lots of situations where people won't admit that they have some need. So, we pray to God. In our prayers, I believe we are sharing our lives with God and with others around us, participating in that prayer. One of the symbols of our loving God is prayer shawls. This is a wonderful ministry in this church. People who knit prayer shawls. Now, this prayer shawl didn't come from this church. It came through the boarding home ministry, which is another wonderful ministry of this church. And the woman who knitted it is Gertie Verbruggen from the First Presbyterian Church Prayer Shawl Knitters in Brandon, Manitoba. Now, this prayer shawl was chosen for me by the boarding home people. I wouldn't have chosen it. It isn't colorful. but they thought I was a minister, so I should be in black. However, when I'm wearing this prayer shawl, I feel enveloped in the love of God. The love that was so well expressed by our friend Jesus. Tuesday morning, there's many of us who are going to go to the city hall to pray before the mayor's office, that the mayor and the city council will put into action the reduction of poverty plan that they've already passed but not funded. So they've got to put legs under this plan and make it work. And so there'll be leaders from all the various faith communities in the city there. That'll start at 10:30, and then there'll be a vigil going through to midnight. And we're asking the city council to act on this. We'll be saying that prayer in our prayers of the people just a little later. Bishop John Spong talked about prayer. And he said, prayer is living deeply, richly, and fully. Everything we do or say should be prayer, calling others to life, to live, and to be. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. So be it.